is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What a night in sports. We had two closeout games in the NBA, a game seven forced in the National Hockey League, and of course, so much NFL content to get to each and every day as we welcome you into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. No Mike Palmu's usually in on Fridays, but the one and only Matt Brown joining us on the desk today, host of The Handle here every weekend from noon to 3 Eastern.
I'm not in the intro, I'm not in the video, but
show up. But you're here.
What a surprise for everyone out there. What
Very
a surprise.
Exciting yes. stuff. What, Excellent. What hair yes. as usual.
The I'm going down. I'm nice. Going. Yeah, I'm going down with it. You know, not as much poof, not as much volume.
What went into that decision?
It's a whole big thing. Switch hair product. It's a long story.
Okay. Yeah. Lots of stuff. See, you would think that I would be the one at the network that has the most time invested in her hair, but wrong.
Nah.
That would be Matt Brown here. Believe it or not, we do have a great show on tap.
Despite
what you might have heard here in the first 30 seconds. Coming up today as we set the table for all that we've got going on, Zach Graham covers the NBA for FTN Fantasy and FTN Bets. He'll join us, give us some thoughts on tonight, his reaction to last night, the series moving ahead as well with the Pacers and Knicks. It's Kentucky Derby weekend upon us. Jeremy Plonk is going to join the show and get into some hockey talk with Nick Alberga later on in the program, host of Leafs Morning Take. The Toronto Maple Leafs force a game seven. They beat the Bruins last night 2-1. The Bees probably holding their sticks a little tight after what happened to them last year in the first round. So an exciting thing there. But we had another classic in the NBA last night with the Philadelphia 76ers and the New York Knicks. How'd you take everything in?
I'll put it this way. What Brunson has done in this series has elevated him, I think, in Knicks fans' eyes into he's already on the Mount Rushmore for Knicks fans. And I don't blame him, right? I mean, you'd see what this guy has come out and done on a consistent basis. I mean, when you're putting yourself in the same sentence as Michael Jordan, you're the first person in the name that comes out as Michael Jordan. That's a pretty good place to be with all this. I mean, everyone knew he was good, and it was such a big signing for them to get him in the first place. But the way that he has really blossomed as the score first, go-to, number one, without a question guy for this offense has been really special, really fun to watch, actually, to see him kind of come in to his own and become this like super special player that I think so NBA dudes knew he always could be, but he has really shown it here in this playoff series. It was unbelievable. And another one last night.
Yeah, 14 points in the fourth quarter, 5 of 8 from the field. The ball naturally found him late on those possessions, and he made the most of it every single time. When you mentioned Michael Jordan, here is what that stat is. Capped a 4-game stretch, 39 points, 47 points, 40, and then 41, of course, last night. First player with 39-plus in 4 straight playoff games since Jordan did it in 1993. Yeah, that's pretty dang cool. And just real quickly, because you talk about the contract and what a great deal that ended up being for the Knicks to get him, it wasn't thought of like that when they made that signing. So I think that's what's even cooler for him is that he was so doubted and now he is the star of this team.
Yeah, only 27 years old, too. So you're looking at a guy that if this is who Jalen Brunson is, you have several good years left of Jalen Brunson if you're a Knicks fan. And I think there's a lot of things to be excited about. Obviously, this is a team that not only now has advanced, is a favorite as they head into this next series, but also kind of the future as well. If you're buying futures in a team, you know, the Knicks might be one that you're looking at.
118-115, the final there, and Knicks were able to pull it together. The 76ers trailed by 22 early in this game, brought it all the way back to have a halftime lead, and then it was just back and forth throughout. I, as happy as I am for the Knicks to have won this game, and I did have them +3 last night, so I felt good about that. Mad at myself I didn't pull the trigger on the money line because we talked about it on the show that I was thinking about it and didn't end up getting there. But I think I didn't bet it because I wanted so badly for this series to go 7, and I thought we deserved it to go 7, so I'm a little bit disappointed.
And you didn't want to bet against your heart.
True.
Your heart wanted this to get to 7 games. Yeah, no, I completely understand. And look, this Sixers team too, you know, they play a ton of the season without Embiid, and so then they fall down the seeding, and then they come in, and of course they were a super dangerous low seed as it was, but you kind of wonder what could have been, you know, with them if he'd have been out there and they didn't have to come in as such a low seed. Maybe things work out a little bit differently for them in all of this if he hadn't gotten banged up and nicked up again, you know, throughout the course of all this. But I mean, that's NBA. It's gonna happen to all these teams.
When I talk about the series and how great it is, though, it was decided by 1 point throughout the course of the series. Like, that's crazy. The shooting numbers were so identical. The Knicks, throughout the course of this entire set, only outscored Philadelphia by 1. You talk about Joel Embiid. I do feel for him because of the knee, the migraines, the Bell's palsy, yeah. like just added
one
down to the list.
One thing after another, after another.
We on this show talk poorly about Joel Embiid a lot because like Michael's a diehard 76ers fan. He loves them and he loves to hate them, right? And Joel Embiid and the conditioning and always injured in the playoffs, the only MVP to never make a conference finals, all these things.
Right.
I understand, but he gutted through a lot and I feel for him that this is the way things end. But I feel more for him that he didn't get any support from neither Tobias Harris nor Kyle Lowry, who combined to score as many points in 30 minutes yesterday as we did.
Yeah, that was awful. I mean, you have Embiid, and I understand. Like, I think, you know, it's the body language with him that really gets to some of these people, right? It's like, it's the, if I can look at you through the television and I feel your pain, I feel your exhaustion, maybe that's not the greatest thing. And so I think it's just the body language where people look at him going, this guy's a pro athlete. What is he doing? Why does he look so tired? He's probably not as tired as he looks. It's just he doesn't know how to fake it very well with all that. But yeah, no, absolutely no support. I mean, you really can't hate on Embiid. I mean, Herculean effort is for as much as he had in all of this. But again, he was a one-man show for the vast majority of all of this. And he was able to get it done as a one-man show for the vast majority of it. Maxey wasn't there consistently throughout the course of the series. Certainly not on some of the clutch shots that he was able to get in this series as well. But yeah, it's I feel for the dude. He really does get a ton of hate. I mean, people love to hate on Joel Embiid. Had a good series, just not enough.
So again, the Pacers beat the Bucks as well. The Knicks now -235 favorite in that set. First time that the Pacers advanced the second round in a decade. Any early thoughts just on that series?
So I have, you talk about like with your heart, right? So I made a Pacers Eastern Conference future whenever they acquired Pascal Siakam. I don't know why it felt compelled to make a futures bet for the acquisition of Pascal Siakam, but I have that in the account. And I think that the series price is right. You know, I think the Knicks are a better team. I think the Knicks probably should be able to take care of the Pacers. But, you know, listen, this Pacers squad, I think when they play their A game, can go with anyone. The problem is there's been a little bit of peaks and valleys and stuff like that. You saw that even in the series with the Bucks, in which Bucks go out there without, you know, their big star and still were able to be super competitive for a lot of this, you know, with this Pacers team. So I think it's about right. I'm going to be rooting for the Pacers. I'm going to be rooting for the Pacers based off just trying to advance that thing and maybe be able to monetize that ticket. But I think it's priced fairly.
If only they could play all their games at home, because the offense just clicks different when they're in Indiana for some reason. And just a monster win for them last night. Bucks did end up getting Dame to play in the game, but he was on a minutes restriction, no Giannis. An unfortunate end for a Bucks team that had very high expectations. Injuries get the better of them. They make a coaching change despite being 30-13 with Adrian Griffin. They go 17-19 with Doc and lose in the first round.
Yeah, it's, I was wondering about the makeup of that team. You know, everyone, obviously, you acquire a guy like Damian Lillard, of course, your team is going to be better, but you do kind of wonder about the makeup of the team with two big superstars that really had not played. So you look at Damon, he had McCollum earlier on, but it's different when it's Giannis, right? Like Giannis, the control, like ball hog, needs the ball, score, all of a sudden, and like Dame was that guy as well, right? So you never know how that's going to mesh in the first place. And then you throw in Middleton, and so what's his role? I was always wondering how that was going to work out. And then you just kind of get, again, this injury stuff coming down the stretch for this Bucks team as well. We as fans would like to see these teams go in as healthy as possible and see who truly is the best team, because you can't, yes, they lose this series. If Giannis is in there, what does this look like? We have no idea. But I would prefer to be able to come out of this going, okay, that is the better team. The better team advanced. But yeah, this Bucks squad, Ben Wilson, sorry if you're watching out there, Ben Wilson, sorry, buddy, with this Bucks team. High hopes and injuries, of course, just get the better of them as well.
So for both of these teams now who are bounced from the playoffs in the first round in Milwaukee and Philadelphia, like what do you foresee is next for these teams? And I guess especially Philly with everything there, there's been talks of maybe Paul George, Ramona Shelburne report. Like, I don't know, like any thoughts there immediately?
Philly has to be at least a somewhat enticing spot for someone to want to go to walk in there and be able to play with Embiid and Maxey. You know, I think that is a place someone might want to go. And if you get, I think one more piece in this team is going to be really, really, really tough to beat, you know. It's, and so I'm a lot. The Bucks squad, like I said, it was unfortunate, right, with the injury situation, with all that. I don't know if it's like that big of a deal at the end of the day.
Giannis, because of like injuries and losses, he hasn't won a playoff game since they won an NBA title.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's, you know, 30-10 every single night that didn't play for you in the play. So, you know, what did we really get from all of that, right? You hit the reset button, you go back after it and see what happens next year.
Have you watched any of the hockey?
Oh, yeah, the ice soccer.
Yeah, I've been watching. You really?
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing. You get the multiple TV set up. So, yeah, it makes the periphery TVs. The NBA is on the main, and then you get the hockey on the periphery TVs.
I wasn't sure if you held off, like, until we get to the cup final, and then you're like, okay, I know I'm going to have to talk about it. I'll watch it here or not.
I watched what's going on. I know that the Bruins fans are very scared as to what might happen.
As they should be.
Yeah.
Although, like, historically, when it comes to playoffs against the Maple Leafs, they have found their way out of it. But after what happened last year, where you had the best team in the NHL and you couldn't get out of the first round.
Oz the Mentalist has predicted before the series.
He did? I haven't seen this.
Oh, before the series, that the Leafs were going to have to come back in the series and then win the series.
Wow.
This guy is weird. I don't know what is going on with it. Like, seriously, I don't know how he does what he does, but he has predicted before the series began a comeback win for the Leafs in the series.
Well, they down 3-1 have staved off elimination. Now back-to-back games forced to game 7. They are a +120 dog in Beantown coming up tomorrow. The Bruins -142. And a couple of good games in the NHL tonight. Stars and Golden Knights, Canucks and Predators. And like I mentioned with Nick Alberga, we'll preview those games a little bit more later. When we come back, some interesting news in the NFL coming through today. Did Miami really need another toy? We'll discuss.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you haven't already, make sure you check out VSiN.com, your fully loaded one-stop shop for all things betting. You want daily plays or series bets for the NBA and NHL postseason? We've got you covered. Best bets and in-season futures opportunities in Major League Baseball, done. Plus, with the NFL draft in the rear view, we're not giving you winners and losers, but individual team and division breakdowns examining how the draft might impact market shifts and teams or players getting bet. Plus, if you're listening to this show, you want all the Lombardi Line content. Our own Michael Lombardi puts out weekly columns at vsin.com. Head over to the new and improved website today. Alongside Matt Brown, in for Michael, Stormy Bonantoni with you live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Speaking of the NFL, we got some interesting news today that the Miami Dolphins did go out and do it. They signed Odell Beckham Jr. to a one-year deal. It's reportedly worth $3 million with incentives that can push its max value to $8.25 million. So about half of what he was getting paid last year with Baltimore. But did Miami really need another toy in the wide receiver room?
Yeah, this kind of signals to me, which is what I have felt all offseason anyway, that this would be the year where they can really go for it. I think if there was ever a year in which that division was up for grabs as much as we've ever seen, it would be this coming year. There are a lot of people who are just under the assumption that an ancient Aaron Rodgers coming off of a major injury is going to play like Aaron Rodgers before, whenever he was young and didn't have a major injury. So I think that there's at least a question mark still around that. We know this Bills team has been going in the wrong direction, has been trending in the wrong direction basically over the last 2 years with all the stuff that's gone on with them. I think that this is a real opportunity here. I'm not even going to mention the Patriots. I mean, come on. They're not in the discussion. Yes, they're not in the discussion. So I think this is a good thing for Miami to look at this and say, like, okay, is he really going to come out and put up huge numbers for us? No. Is he a dude, though, on 3rd and 6? If we need a dude who can go and run around on 3rd and 6, who's got really good hands that we can continue to move the chains, I think that's how they're going to use him in all of this. And I think this Miami Dolphins team is set up pretty perfectly to win that division, then move on once you get in the tournament. Who knows, right? That's all we ask teams to do, get in the tournament and try to go win some games. So I like the move overall in general. He is no Tyreek Hill. He is no Waddle. I mean, that's for sure. But he is a guy that I think can still go out and play on 3rd downs. I mean, you know, this play on 3rd downs and move the chains. That's probably what they're going to ask him to do.
All this really did in my mind was like cement the fact that they want to protect Tua Tagovailoa at every possible juncture and just give him as many weapons as possible to make him look good. This defense needs help. after the way that things fell apart last year. You lose Christian Wilkins, one of your stars, to the Raiders, and it just, it's weird to me that if you're adding talent, that you're adding talent to a stacked wide receiver room and not other places where it's actual needs.
Well, their wide receiver three was kind of up. I mean, like, got like Braxton Berrios.
You got Taj Washington.
You know, I mean, like, their wide receiver three was, it was wishy-washy. River Craycraft.
Got a couple of good rookies, though. Taj Washington and Malik.
River Craycraft. Yeah, I mean,
I guess they're both Washington. It's Taj Washington and Malik Washington, right, that they drafted.
And apparently, if you listen to what people are saying, this new version of Odell Beckham, not the diva version of Odell Beckham of years past, this new version of Odell Beckham's actually been really good in the locker room.
Is this new version healthy?
Well, I mean, but to be in the locker room, you don't have to be healthy. You walk around, you can pat people on the back. You can give the, you know, the veteran, you know, advice and all the stuff like that. So this new version of Odell Beckham's actually been good for some of the younger players and good in the locker rooms. Again, if you believe what people are saying, I don't know. I haven't been in the locker rooms, but I like it overall. I think this is Miami's year to really try to make a go for it.
I agree what you're saying with the division, because it's interesting how on paper this division went from one that you could argue is the best in all of football for a time in recent history. And things have just really, really changed. Obviously, Buffalo had to offload so many pieces on both sides of the ball, including most recently their stud wide receiver in Stephon Diggs. But maybe that could be addition by subtraction when you think about the off-field issues that they had and maybe the relationship with Josh Allen. I don't know. Speaking
the Bills being
that,
the favorite is just not. I mean, the Bills are the favorite in that division. I can't get there. Like, I just can't get
there.
And
I'm not a believer in the Jets either. I'm totally with you. We call them the ifers on this show because it's like, if, you know, all of these things happen and all of these players stay healthy, then sure, they could be awesome. But, like, is that realistic? I don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Old people tend to break down. Trust me, I know. I am old. I'm getting there to the point where I break down. Yes. I sneeze funny. Next thing you know, I've got to like take a couple days off from the gym or something. So I get it. Old guys just assuming that they're going to go out and perform at a high level just because they've done so in the past, I think is a fool's errand. So I don't know. I can't believe the Bills are not huge favorites, plus 160 to 2-1, but still they're favorites in the division. I don't get it.
Well, and that's the thing. I do think that there's going to be parity at the top. So we'll see who comes out of that. But yes, plus 160, Buffalo Bills, the favorite there, the Jets and Dolphins both sitting there 2-1, the Patriots 25-1. Speaking of the Bills though, and we know their wide receiver issues right now, they signed Chase Claypool, former Dolphin, to a one-year contract, which is an interesting move. I know you need help, but is that gonna help you? That tells us a lot about the current state of the Buffalo Bills right now, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's kind of like the, you roll the dice on a dude that had a bunch of potential, never lived up to the potential. Can we pull the potential out of the guy? You know, a lot of these teams get super cocky and all of this and like, no. Just needed us, you know, it was just us. It wasn't him. It was, and now we can change this guy and we can make it, you know, again, it's kind of the same deal, right? They need something, you know, I mean, yeah, you got Keon Coleman, but it's still a rookie, right? We don't know for sure how long it's going to take him to adapt. We have seen rookie wide receivers come into the league and play much, much better earlier on. And I think that's just how we switched the game just in general, right? Like in high school, teams are throwing more. They play in these 7-on-7s all year long. So like wide receivers are just better now than they were younger. So I think that these guys can contribute a little bit earlier on. But I'll put it this way. It is a no harm, no foul signing because you pay him nothing. If he doesn't work out, you know, you send him over to Bad Grocers or Trader Joe's or something, you know?
4 receptions for the Dolphins last year after playing his way out of Chicago. Let's stick it in the division here because Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo was talking about the quarterback room, obviously drafting Drake May, number 3 overall, but Jacoby Brissett currently in that role. I think a lot of people like myself thought that's a good bridge quarterback opportunity. Mm-hmm. We talk so much in the NFL about teams ruining quarterbacks rather than developing them. Maybe give Drake May an opportunity to sit for at least a little while and see what happens. But he said, talking about Drake May competing for the job out the gate, he did say ultimately he has to win the job. We're not just going to give it away. But I think that's interesting, though, that they're calling it a competition in camp, because I just assumed that you were going to give Drake a little bit of opportunity to develop.
Yeah, I'm of the mindset that this is the cover your rear end type statement, where it's, if we get him in here and it's, we just can tell that this is going to be a dumpster fire, then we put Jacoby in, let him take the hits for 7, 8, 9, 10 games, and then we can go with Drake May. I think it's one of those deals where you're looking and you're saying, he's got to be smart enough to know this team's not even good, right? I mean, he knows it's his team. He sees the talent around. I mean, and talent is in air quotes, right? He sees the talent around and understands that they're not going to be able to compete this year. So I think this is one of the, you say it, you say, yeah, you know, it's competition. We're going to make these guys go after it. Where really you're saying, if we're terrible and we know we're going to be terrible, I'm not going to throw my rookie out there and let him just get beat to death, right? Like we have seen that happen to some of these dudes and they've never recovered. Let's throw Jacoby Brissett out there, have him throw a bunch of interceptions, and then we can throw Drake May in later in the season.
I know as far as the division goes, we already talked about it. No interest, yeah, no thoughts there whatsoever. But I mean, win total sitting 4.5, their defense was better than I think they were given credit for last season. Any early thoughts on the Patriots from that standpoint?
I do think,
regardless of quarterback,
I do think they are going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Okay.
If not the worst team in the NFL.
Really?
Yeah.
You think it's going to go that dark?
Yeah. This is a full on tear it down to build it back up situation. I mean, there was, if you look what they had last year, the fact that they were able to win any games last year, even.
Looking in this direction, but you know, producer Steph through the glass is just like sending fire eyes.
Listen, here's the thing. Producer Steph is very well aware, again, of the, I'm using my little thing. If you're not watching on video, which by the way, you can do that with VSiN Pro subscription. Look at how I threw that in. You see that?
Well done.
I'm doing the little finger air quote that, you know, like the talent in the room. There's not a lot of talent there. And so you've got to just do what a lot of teams, the Patriots aren't used to this. Talent has always just been around for the last, you know, 20 years. A lot of teams have had to do this multiple times over the whole time that the Patriots were just good the whole time. You got to break it down sometimes to build it back up.
I haven't talked to you since the draft from an evaluation standpoint, Drake May. Were you surprised that they did not ultimately trade out of that pick with how many people were trying? I mean, the Vikings, the Giants, both trying to trade up for that spot.
No, I mean, again, it's the same deal. Like you have to take the swings with the quarterbacks, right? Because if you hit, then you have your franchise set up for a decade. And if you miss, it's actually kind of a good thing, right? So they missed with Mac Jones. It's a good thing. You find yourself back at the top of the draft and you can try again. So it's like, it's good to take the swings because if you hit, decade worth of good quarterback play. If you miss, then you're back at the top of the draft and you try again. You don't want to being middling is like the worst part of all of it, right?
So are you saying you liked the Falcons pick?
Oh, absolutely not.
I'm just throwing that out there. You got a swing, he says.
I have screamed about this from a mountaintop, but honestly, if I could sell off all these tickets that I have on the Falcons, I would do it on principle. Even though I still think they win the division, I would do it on principle.
That's a great conversation topic because when we come back, we are going to discuss a little bit how the NFL draft changed our perception on a couple of teams and bets that are worth making post draft. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line with Matt and Stormy.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Matt Brown in for Michael Lombardi as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line. If you're looking to up your sports betting game, look no further than a VSiN Pro subscription. It's your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data, and winning strategies. And for a limited time, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally $240, you can now get it for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use our promo code Lombardi. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI, 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems from professional handicappers, and our exclusive betting splits. We know how much you guys love those to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. VSiN.com/subscribe. 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199, but you gotta use that promo code Lombardi. 50 cents a day.
We spend, think of the nonsense that we spend $5 a day on.
Oh yeah. No, easily. So I always hear the comp to coffee and I'm like,
you're peeling the curtain back here, but you're going to tell everyone.
Don't like to admit this.
Yeah.
I get a Starbucks coffee every weekday.
So
it's problematic, but that's like $5, $6 a day.
So you're in for over a hundo a month just in coffee.
$1.50 probably.
Yeah. Look at that.
So I'm spending that just on coffee for
this
a
is
month.
Sponsorship
you're
opportunity,
14
by the way.
14 months.
Yeah, you hear this out there?
Yeah, so anyone? I'm just saying.
Any coffee providers, this is a sponsorship opportunity.
Considering we are a betting network, are we not always looking for value? Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things like the caffeine is not necessarily to keep you awake. It's for cognitive stuff. It like keeps the brain rocking and rolling, you know, so that you're making the good picks and doing all things.
Michael and I had a full, like, breakdown one day about Bill Belichick and the fact that he does not drink coffee. Like, you think about the time and hours that man puts into game planning and getting there early, staying late, doing all of this stuff, and he doesn't drink coffee. Like, that's mind-boggling to me.
So I don't do coffee either, but I do caffeine. So
you do a lot of weird stuff,
so,
though.
Yeah, I do caffeine. I just don't do coffee. So it's just I use the caffeine for, like I said, it keeps the keeps the mind going. Okay. Yeah, it keeps the mind going.
Whatever,
like,
you say.
I don't
there,
need
pal.
It to like stay awake. It's like I like the cognitive.
Speaking of Bill Belichick, I am very excited for the Tom Brady roast that's coming up this weekend as well. How real are we going to get? It's going to be good. But let's talk post draft a little bit more, because this is the first time that you and I have been together since all of those selections were made this past week. And we're going to go through our top three post draft bets. And one of these here, we both very much so agree on.
Yeah, I mean, Eagles to win the NFC East. I was high on the Eagles even before the draft. I think they came out of the draft just absolutely fantastic. I mean, all the stuff they did in free agency, I already was very high on this team. And then the fact that they came out of this draft with two of the three best corners, maybe the two best, depending on who you talk to about it all. It was the one spot in which you looked at this team from last year and you said, hey, where is there a real big weakness? Yeah. And we remember it was, you could just pass all over this team. And the fact that these guys are like NFL ready, going to come in, probably start from day one. And we have seen rookie corners, especially these super elite high level ones. We've seen these rookie corners perform. I mean, this is not going to be the first time that it would not be wild if we go, wow, this pass defense for the Eagles is really, really good. I can't believe these rookies. Like, nah, man, if you look, I mean, Sauce Gardner played very, very well as a rookie. You go in and even further back, we start to see, again, I think it goes back to this, again, these passing camps and stuff like that. These guys are just like defending the pass too all year round. And so I'm just really, really blown away with what they were able to do. And I am very, very high on this team.
Yeah, it's like as if adding Saquon Barkley and Bryce Huff didn't do enough for you. Let's throw this in there. And I'm totally with you on those two corners specifically to back up the numbers on how much they were getting passed on last year. Eagles allowed 35 passing touchdowns, second most in the NFL, second most in franchise history as well, which is saying something. No team allowed more passing yards or passing touchdowns on throws outside the numbers than Philly last season. You get Quinyon Mitchell, who I think you got much lower than I anticipated him being picked. I believe his draft proposition was set at like 13.5. So he ends up going farther down in the first round, and the ESPN draft predictor gave Cooper DeJean a 2% chance of being available there at 40. So he is another guy that easily could have been a first round pick too. So like a lot of really, really good value on those two players.
I mean, this bet to me, again, I look at these and yes, it's tighter than the division we were talking about earlier, but
plus, we don't have repeat champions in the division, right?
Yeah, so you sit here in this Eagles team. I know we like to remember the things that happened at the end of the season, and it's the stuff that's closest to our memory. But this team was very, very, very good for a good bit of the season before the wheels kind of fell off and everything just went totally crazy on that defensive side of the ball. Like, now they've kind of plugged this hole, at least we think. What is there not to like about this team?
Another team with, somewhat similar color scheme. You like the Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC South. Are you not buying the Texans hype?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different things here. The reason that I like the Jags is also another one of the reasons that I think that some of these teams get overhyped, right? Again, we remember what we saw last. Texans finished the season unbelievably awesome. CJ Stroud plays through the roof. Everybody's rallying around this team. How did they do this? Can't believe, you know, they were one of the teams that was projected to have one of the worst records in the NFL, ends up making the playoffs, all the stuff like that. All true. Did they get better? Yes, as well. But the odds now just don't dictate, in my opinion, the separation between them and the Jags. I mean, you look, they're almost half the price of the Jags to win this division. And if you look at the Jags, I mean, going out, getting Brian Thomas, yeah, you lost Ridley, but Ridley wasn't all that anyway, really, for them last year. And so now you go in and you look at stuff like, you look at this where you're going, okay, Brian Thomas steps in. Could he be your wide receiver one? Do you have multiple wide receiver ones? Christian Kirk maybe gets to play a position that's a little bit better for him. Is Gabe Davis whatever. Gabe Davis now can maybe be your three. Yeah. Gabe Davis is probably a three anyway, right? And he was forced into being a two in Buffalo because they didn't have anybody else. He's probably a three. And if that's the case, Gabe Davis is a three is a probably pretty good option with all of this. And so I think that they look at that. And then of course you go in and some of the other stuff they did just kind of fill in along the way, stuff on the offensive line that they were able to go in and get in the later rounds. I just really do like what they did there. And I think, again, the price doesn't dictate the in my opinion, the gap between them and the Texans.
My next one I went with was the Steelers. And I, quite frankly, I make this season win total bet over every year. And I'm going to keep doing that because it just continues to cash under Mike Tomlin. But you think about, again, pairing the offseason with the draft and the different moves that they have made. You bring in Patrick Queen to their linebacker core, trade for Dante Jackson and sign Deshaun Elliott. Offensively, you get Arthur Smith, who I'm still not totally bought in on, but better coordinator than head coach.
Yeah.
Running an offense that's led by Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, although please let's not have Justin Fields return kicks. I'm just going to throw that out there, despite what we've heard online this week. Do I love Russell Wilson? No. Clear upgrade over Kenny Pickett, though, who had 13 touchdowns and 13 interceptions in 24 career starts. And then you look at what they did in the draft, where there was a clear direction, especially at the top of what they did here, protect Russell Wilson and try to win games up front. The pass blocking and run blocking issues for the Steelers last year were evident. They get Troy Faitanu in the first round out of Washington, Zach Frazier from West Virginia. Factor in Broderick Jones, first round pick last year, a couple vets on. Like, this could be the best offensive line they've had in years.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely.
And then all the weapons, too. And that's without me even mentioning any of their other offensive weapons. So
whether you think Russell Wilson's washed or not, it doesn't matter, because even a washed version of him is still better than Kenny Pickett, right? And then if he is truly washed, I don't think that we're going to see them kind of mess around here at all. I think they will make the switch pretty quickly to Fields if Russell Wilson is washed, because again, at least with Fields, you know that there's at least, we assume there's at least still some upside with him. We saw him getting better, you know, over the course of his career, is where we have seen this rapid decline coming from Russell Wilson along the way. The only the only scary thing about that bet is just that that's a division of death, right?
Absolutely.
Like, that's the only thing that's
Absolutely.
Scary about the bet.
But did they not exceed expectations numerous times last year? You also think, like, they won 10 games last year and they got better. Six of their seven losses, the Steelers offense scored 13 points or fewer. So like, if your offense is better, your defense is good, I think you can get over this number again. We both like something in the rookie markets.
Yes, I'm going J.J. McCarthy most rookie pass yards at plus 350.
So you think he's going to start?
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? So with the odds that are attached right now, if he gets named the starter, that those are going to shrink big time, right? And I kind of look at this and I think with J.J. McCarthy, you're probably going to see him starting from day one. He steps into, my opinion, the best position of these rookie quarterbacks, in which you go in and have two really legitimate wide receivers, a very legitimate tight end. Like, there's things here for me that I see a ton of success for J.J. McCarthy. And so for me, Justin Jefferson was able to get to 1,000 yards last year in minimal amount of games played with nine different quarterbacks that played for the Vikings last year. Like, he can get it done with anyone. I think J.J. McCarthy can hit him enough times with Addison, Hawkinson, all the stuff like that. I like him as the plus 352, the odds attached to that.
I threw in a Caleb Williams offensive rookie of the year, and I know it's boring. He's plus 200, the favorite, but I kind of look at this similar to things last year with the number one pick market, where he's the favorite and the numbers are just going to get shorter more than likely. He's going to have more opportunity than anybody as a starter. You have great talent around you. Roma Dunze is wide receiver three, which is a good problem to be in.
Fantastic.
Lots of talent. The offensive line upgraded a good bit. And I mean, the only reason Matt Eberflus, quite frankly, still has a job this year is because of the defensive improvements we saw the back end of the season. If that carries over, I think that he is in a great spot, probably the best spot for a number one.
They're going to win some games.
So I didn't want to get in on their win total over. I don't want them to have double digit wins. But regardless of outcome there, I think he's going to get plenty of passing yards and he's going to be in good position. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line talking Kentucky Derby coming up next. Or we're up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's Kentucky Derby time. Are you ready for the greatest 2 minutes in sports? We'll saddle up with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app can get 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code VSINHORSE, VSINHORSE, all one word. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Download DK Horse now to join the 150th Run for the Roses action only on the DK Horse app. And I was, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, devastated to find out that Mugatu will not be scratched. In the field.
Scratched.
Yes. That was, while I do follow our wonderful horse betting experts here at the network, mm-hmm. and I follow what they have, I also like to make sure I do one play based on name alone, and Mugatu was my pick. So
yeah, I don't follow right. them. I don't follow them at all. I do solely name plays. Yeah, solely name
I believe
plays.
That.
Yeah.
We'll get back to horse racing a little bit later on in the program, but for now, talking some NBA as we welcome in Zach Graham on the Progressive Guest Line, senior NBA advisor at FTN Fantasy. Appreciate the time after what was a classic last night. One game was a clunker. Of course, with the Bucks ending their season early, but 76ers Knicks, boy, am I disappointed that series couldn't go seven, but a heck of a game last night. How'd you take in the action?
Yeah, I'm happy that I don't have a horse or didn't have a horse in that race because I have multiple friends on the Philly side, on the New York side, and all of them were saying they didn't know if they could take a game seven, but I'm with you, Stormy. I wish we had one.
When we take a look at the Mavs and the Clippers, really compelling series here. It looked like the Clippers were completely dead. Then they rise and look here and you see this unbelievable play from Luka and from Kyrie, and Luka's actually starting to play some defense. I mean, this is really turned into something special. We head into the game this evening in which Dallas, about a 7.5 point favorite, something like that, about 208 and a half. What do you see in this one?
Yeah, Matt, so I'm looking at the over here, 208 and a half. I like the over regardless if you're getting that half point or not. This one, just coming straight from our FTN data model, we've got this game about 10 points over this total. So there's a little wiggle room, some buffer there, right, between our projection here at FTN and that total. And it's taken a little bit for the results in this series to catch up to our model there. We were under on the first three, but then games 4 and 5 both soared over this total. And again, that's kind of what we've been expecting here in this series. So I think that's going to continue. Even Reggie Miller was commenting on the pace picking up a little bit there in game 5 when the hobbled Luka Doncic took off leading a fast break there. So I'm sticking with the model here and the over on this game tonight.
Yeah, the Clippers have overcome a 3-2 deficit against the Mavs in recent history, but of course that took Kawhi Leonard being awesome in the back end of those last two games. No Kawhi on the court here. Does it feel like this series is over? Does it feel like it's the Mavericks to close things out tonight?
I do think they get it done here in terms of Dallas, and obviously there's going to be much discussion around this Clippers team and what they look like next year. Already people talking about, oh, Paul George could go here, Paul George could go there, and even though I think Dallas closes it out here at home, I like Paul George in terms of his made threes number here. And I found it earlier this morning at DK, plus 145 over 3.5 made threes here. And we've seen Paul George go over this number in just 2 of the 5 games this series. But you mentioned Kawhi Leonard out here. Obviously, his usage goes up with no Kawhi. He's leading the team in those 3 games without Leonard, 28.7% usage. So I think it's no coincidence that the 2 games he has gone over this number were in games 1 and 4 without Leonard. Obviously, we saw the huge dud, the letdown, not just from Paul George, but James Harden and this team as a whole. I was actually a little disappointed in the way Ty Lue made some coaching adjustments in the second half, but not enough time to get into that here. So again, I do think the Mavs win this one and close out the Clips, but FTN data model backing me up here has Paul George right around 3.9 made threes tonight. And for what it's worth, out of his 77 regular season appearances, Paul George made 4 or more threes in 44.5%. of his regular season games this year.
Talking to Zach Graham from over at FTN Fantasy. Zach, didn't want to skip over the earlier game, Cavs and Magic. That is Magic 4-point favorites, currently a flat 200 as our total here in this one. I don't know if you're looking necessarily at a side or total here, but definitely a prop.
Yeah, definitely looking at Donovan Mitchell here. Points prop set at 25.5. Most places I've seen it this morning, found it minus 110 on DK this morning. Could this be the game where Spider finally comes to life and is efficient with his shooting? Of course. But I've been a fan of this Orlando defense going back to last season, especially in the backcourt here, and they've been doing a great job on both Mitchell and Garland so far. Donovan Mitchell, 42-23-86 shooting splits through the first five games of this season, held to just 5 of 27 from three in the last four. So again, he could bounce back here tonight, but Cleveland has not looked good on the road. The road team has not looked good really throughout this series. And that Suggs-Harris backcourt is menacing. And we've got Gary Harris questionable tonight with that hamstring injury. But again, I also like to lean when my noggin is leaning one way, if the FTN data model is also backing me up. The model here is a big fan of the under, just a hair under 23 points projected for Donovan Mitchell here tonight at FTN. He's averaging 22.4 points per game on the series. So I like the under here on Donovan Mitchell, 25.5 points.
Magic, a 4-point home favorite, total 200 in that one coming up tonight. Looking ahead to tomorrow, the defending champion Denver Nuggets are hosting the T-Wolves in game one of that series. The Timberwolves in the set took a good bit of money here, people buying in on them at the plus money price. That first game, Denver laying 4.5 at Ball Arena, total 207.5. Anything that you're looking there, whether it be game one, the series, prop market, what are your models telling you?
Yeah, I cannot. I will start off by saying this series on paper looks like it's going to be awesome. Like maybe even one up that Sixers-Knicks series we just got in the first round. I cannot go against the Nuggets here, but I have enough respect for what the Wolves have done, especially sweeping the Suns out of the first round, where I think like the series where the prices are right now, it's kind of a stay away for me. So when it's like that, I like to go game by game. And I was taking a look at the player props this morning, and I'm looking at Mike Conley for game one on Saturday evening, over 11.5 points. You get that close to even odds on DK Sportsbook right now. It's very simple for me here with the veteran point guard. Even though we've had plenty of time off for both of these teams come Saturday evening, Jamal Murray is not going to be 100% with that calf issue. I know the Nuggets training staff wanted to keep him out of that closeout game in the first round. So even if Jamal Murray was 100% healthy here, this is a matchup that Mike Conley has been pretty great in over the last few seasons. In fact, Conley, 12 or more points against the Nuggets in 7 straight regular season meetings. That's dating all the way back to February of 2022. Conley averaged 11.8 points per game in the first round series, and he was not good from the field. 37, 36, 83 splits, down from the regular season numbers of 46, 44, 91. So I'm locking in the over on Mike Conley, 11.5 points, because I want to attack this matchup against Jamal Murray.
Zach, all the way to Monday, Pacers and the Knicks will get going. That one, game one, 6 points in favor of the Knicks, but also big favorites in the series. Do you see the Pacers being able to be competitive here? Do you think that the Pacers have any chance of actually upsetting the Knicks in the series?
It's just going to be a war of attrition here. Like, we've got the Pacers with their high pace, right? The high-powered offense. Obviously, they are starting to kind of figure things out here after getting Pascal Siakam in at the trade deadline. Tyrese Halliburton maybe looking a little bit healthier after the midseason kind of lull there. But this Knicks team is just such a juggernaut defensively. These guys are well-conditioned. You know, a lot of talk around Coach Thibodeau and what he does to these guys in terms of the regular season minutes, but you see it in the first round series when Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey and Tobias Harris are exhausted after playing 40 plus minutes in these games. These Knicks guys are rolling right along. So the way that they controlled that first round series, the way that they control game in, game out, really, since the trade deadline, I like the Knicks. It's really hard for me to see them, especially with the home court advantage in this series. The Garden is going to be rocking. You know, I know Knicks fans probably have their fingers in their ears right now, just trying to ignore me. They don't want to jinx anything, but I like the Knicks to move on to a conference final.
We've only got 30 seconds left. Will they then have a shot at actually beating the Celtics, or even without Kristaps Porzingis, is it theirs to win?
I think Celtics are probably going to be favored coming into that, even if they don't have Porzingis. But that is the chance that the rest of the Eastern Conference, I think, needed, was a guy like Porzingis to go down here. So Knicks got to worry about getting out of this second round. And I know they're going to take it game by game. But if Porzingis isn't right come conference finals time, the Knicks have as good a shot as they ever have.
Good luck with your bets, Zach. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, y'all. Appreciate it.
Zach Graham. Again, check out all that great work over at FTN and FTN Fantasy. We're going to hit the break here when we return. Resetting with hour two of the Lombardi Line. Welcome in our DraftKings Network audience. Continue a little bit of that NBA talk, and we'll have NHL, Kentucky Derby, all that good stuff on the way. Stick around.